When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, welcome to the Can We Help You podcast, your non-professional advice podcast.
What's going on
Could
here?
You
what is
speak
happening?
A bit slower, please?
What?
Have we got the what? AI version of Sash today?
Your non-professional...
Oh, yeah, because I didn't know what I was saying. I was trying to find the fucking script because you two weren't ready, so I was trying to read it. Hello and welcome
right
to Can
here.
We Help You, your non-professional advice podcast. We're Sash, Jackson, Franco, and you can think of us as the big brothers and sister you never had or wanted. Welcome.
What happened to the, no, there's a bit where you're meant to go, I'm Sash, and then I'm Franco.
Yeah, I'm Jax.
I've decided that I think that's corny.
Oh, what's that very corny. That's the corny part, is it?
I'm Sash. I'm Jax. I'm Franco. I feel like you need that on like a TV sort of thing where it like pans
One,
to
two,
you.
Three,
and it's
four.
Like,
High five.
Yeah, I feel like when you're doing it on a podcast, it sounds lame. Well, so I just decided to cut it
out. Maybe we should do a television show then. A YouTube show.
Yeah, there we go. That doesn't sound like any extra work.
Probably wouldn't.
I'm excited today because I'm going to see the Chili Peppers tonight.
Oh my God.
Can you do a running count for me of how many times the word California is said?
California. I'm so excited. They got really good reviews for their Brisbane show. So I'm hoping that.
I saw them at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl probably like 15 years ago.
Mm.
And I won't say anything because I don't want to.
I know their live shows are very hit and miss. Like I know that about them, but that's why I'm excited is because these shows they've been doing so far have been getting really good reviews. And Post Malone, I also get to see Post Malone, so that'll be fun.
Oh yeah, that'll be fun.
I'm not really like up on their new stuff. I'm just like, I read this study this week or last week and it was like, once you turn 30, like the amount of new music you consume like significantly drops and like
oh
I definitely feel
God,
like I've been
so
in that
true.
Era.
I don't know about that. I listen to the radio every day.
That's different. It's not listening, not being told, oh, there's a new Ariana Grande song. It's like going
mean?
And like listening
That's
to new
I've
music
liked to do.
Actively. Yeah, no. And I've been in that era for like I'd say the last 4 years where I just
Actually,
have not cared about new music.
Remember when we were younger and you'd go to the CD store like Sanity or something like that and they had the headphones set up and you'd go and like listen to the new
I love that.
Yeah, and you'd be like, that was good. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, I'm going to spend $35 buying the CD.
Crazy. I wanted to buy an audiobook the other day and it was like $80. And I'm like, I'm not spending $80 for someone to read to me. Like, what the fuck is this shit? Like the best thing, like the invention was streaming channels, Spotify, all of that. It makes so much sense. And that's why things like LimeWire don't exist anymore because you can actually access music for a reasonable cost and you can listen to new stuff. You can listen to old stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's
and the best part about Spotify is that when you click on something, you're not accidentally downloading a virus.
I used to love LimeWire. I was really meticulous. I hated my friends that would download from LimeWire and then leave, like, you know how it was wrongly titled and the artist was wrong,
yeah,
or like,
yeah,
and it was spelling
all different
mistakes.
Yeah,
letters. I would meticulously enter it into my iTunes library and like type it out properly, make sure I had the right featuring so and so and all of that. I was very meticulous with my LimeWire consumption.
Yeah, I was also meticulous with my library, but actually, I have still, I think, a download from LimeWire.
Oh my god, really?
Of Dean Geyer from Australian Idol
when he
came out with his single "If You Don't Mean It," and it's literally like a. It's taped off the radio and then someone put it on LimeWire. And so the start of it's like, Today FM, this Dean Geyer with his new one.
Oh, no.
And it's shit quality. It's like, oh.
I have a song that I downloaded that's still in my library that is like half a song. It just cut off halfway through. And I tried so many times to download it and I loved the song so much, but I could never find the full version. So I just kept the half version until I, you know, got Spotify and just – was like, hey, I can listen to the whole song. And that confused me. It's like the songs you downloaded where it'd be like, I have a Killers song and it's K-Rock in the US. I don't know where it is.
K-Rock.
It's like, yeah, and it goes K-Rock at the very start of the song. And now when I listen to the actual song and I'm like, K-Rock, and I'm like, wait, hang on, it's not
That's
on this
not
one.
In the song.
It doesn't sound right.
I also did that thing where you'd listen to songs like all the time. Like I'd have favourites and I'd just
constantly
listen to the same music.
Yeah, that's one thing I kind of miss about being a child is that you would just listen to
music,
over and over again.
It was such a thing. And like, yeah, like putting and being excited when you first got your P's and like just blasting music and being like, I'm just going to drive around and play music.
And even albums, like you just like, because you didn't have that many albums because you couldn't afford it. So you just, you had like six or seven albums and that's all you'd listen to over and over and over again.
What was your favorite, both of you, favorite album? I'm going to say like mid-high school era, like when you're like deep in your teenage angst, you're like 15 years old. Like what was your go-to album at that age? Mine is probably a trio. It was Jeff Buckley's Grace.
Great album.
Black Keys' Magic Potion.
Oh, yeah.
And Kings of Leon, A Heartshake Heartbreak. They were my
Is that Sex on Fire album?
No, that was like three before Sex
These
on Fire.
These are very random albums. That other one as well, they've got better albums than that.
Oh, I had random albums too.
I don't know. Which one? Okay, we're not on a music talk podcast, but I can't think of a better album from
El Camino
Black
and
Keys.
Brothers are both better than that, but that's
just me. Because of the Times was also good. Anyway,
all right,
enough music chat. We have a question to get into.
Wait, aren't we doing albums
this week? What? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot I was just talking about myself.
Sorry. Oh.
I was giving you time to think while I was talking.
Anyway,
all right,
here's
Jax,
my
go.
Answer. And that's it. Thanks for listening.
I just wanted to talk about myself.
So I went through a phase, I think through year 7 and 8, where I was mostly listening to LimeWire music. And so my music library consisted of like Jessica Simpson and Ashley Simpson and stuff like that.
Did.
But my
go-to album.
That's what your thing looks like now.
My go-to albums were, again, it wasn't just one. It was I had Freak Show by Silverchair. I had American Idiot by Green Day. Actually, it's Bullet in a
great
Bible.
Album. The Bullet in the Bible album. That was such a good album. That's one of my favourites too, actually. I liked International Super Hits because that was all of the – it was like a best of album. That was the other one I listened to.
American Idiot's much better. And lastly was Fly by Hilary Duff.
Great.
Yeah, I had the full Hilary Duff collection of albums, three or four albums. Metamorphosis.
Was there a Lizzie McGuire album? Do you have that too?
No, I did have the Jimmy Neutron soundtrack though.
Oh, but. Of course you did.
No, actually I can't. I think the best one, and then I got the Most Wanted by Hilary Duff and that was easily her weakest album, but I also played that a lot too.
Who else would have critique of Hilary Duff's greatest and worst albums? I didn't even know she had albums.
And to be clear, this is when you were like 15, 16, like real angsty period. Yeah,
like 13, 14, 15. I had actually, I had posters on the back of my wall of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen and Hilary Duff and Miley Cyrus. And I actually built, this is really embarrassing, but I built, because I was really into Photoshop at the time, so I built a wallpaper for my school laptop that was like,
Oh, no.
It was like different photos of Hilary Duff and Emma Watson and Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen like faded into each other.
Do you still have that?
Probably, awful. Yeah.
Please find it. Please. I'd love to see it. I'd love to make it the cover photo of the Ronnie room.
It's so embarrassing.
That's horrible.
It was a collage. I made a collage, guys.
What did your friends think of it? Were you cool? Were they like, wow, Jack, that's really cool?
Thinking back, I'm not sure that they commented on it that much. And I think if I saw that, I'd be like, well, who the fuck is this widow? I did have one girl actually say, oh, could you make one for me of the people I like? And I was like,
I don't want to like cast aspersions.
Aspersions.
No, there's a Kath and Kim one and she says, I don't want to cast aspersions. Oh. I get mixed up between the two. On like, oh, if you listen to fucking female pop music, you're gay. Like, that's obviously not the case. But like, it's pretty strange, I think, for a teenage boy to be so
honestly. Honestly, I thought they were really attractive people. But honestly, looking back, people did used to tease me because I'm like, oh, you're gay.
Aww,
but
when that you sucks.
When you consider that.
that,
and also the fact that I was in a boy band, it probably kind of starts to add up, really.
Yeah,
they were just putting the puzzle pieces together.
They're like,
Oh my God, what I would give to just spend a day with 15-year-old Jax like that. He's just a completely different person now.
Oh,
I think it's the same.
We'd have fun. We'd go to the Melbourne show or something together. We would have been friends, I think.
You two would have been mates. No, I think
I would have seen that wallpaper and just kind of backed away.
No, we would have been friends. We would have both been into like, you know, cameras and stuff.
Cameras and, yep, Hilary Duff. Oh God, what was I? I don't know how to follow that now. I was big into the Chili Peppers in my teens. I liked the Arctic Monkeys and Tame Impala's first couple albums. Just, you know, your Triple J staples pretty much.
Yeah.
See, you were a little younger than us, so I feel like Tame Impala was after I graduated high school.
Yeah, exactly. And Hilary Duff was like, I was a kid when we were watching like Lizzie McGuire and stuff.
Oh, but didn't you love it?
Yeah, but like I didn't buy the albums. I had the Lizzie McGuire movie on VHS, I think.
Great movie. What about my favorite movie when I was a kid was The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, great
movie. There's quite a trend emerging. But I used to.
Oh God.
Oh God! What did you do to
this
Lindsay?
This is also very embarrassing. I used to, you know, I was a kid. All right. The bit, you know, the section where she goes like swimming and they steal all her clothes.
Oh no, you didn't.
I rewind that and play it over.
Jackson,
what a weirdo! I don't know.
You're a weird kid, I reckon. Did you have the Lego cut when you were a kid as well? Can you imagine like little Lego bowl cut Jacks like just sitting there watching The Parent Trap and rewinding those bits?
Oh, was there ever a moment where you maybe realised or your parents realised a few years later that certain part of the VHS is like way shakier than the rest of it because you've just kept going back and forth over it?
I hope they didn't. I hope they never knew.
Okay, on that note, shall we should we get to someone who needs help just like Jax does?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh. Deary me.
Okay, I have a question here from Ronnie. Ronnie's written in on Instagram at Can We Help You Podcast, where you can also get in touch if you would like.
Please do.
Ronnie writes, I'm head of department at a school. But I'm really interested in another temporary position as the head of a different department. However, my boss won't let me apply for it. She's saying no, as the contract is only for the rest of the year. I've been in my current job for over 3 years and it's a lot. It's really stressful. I work 50-hour weeks at least. This new role would be different and hopefully support me in working less hours. Should I quit my permanent leadership role, or is that kind of irresponsible? I'm a little stuck. I also think if I resign my leadership role and apply for the temp job, my boss won't give it to me anyway because she'll be pissed off at me for leaving. I'm not ungrateful that I have my permanent leadership role. I'm just a bit over it and I'm looking for something new that better supports a better work-life balance. Any advice, please? Thank you, love, from Ronnie.
Thank you, Ronnie, for your question. I feel like if you go to your boss and you say, I want to apply for this, you know, different role, and they say, I mean, it can mean one of two things, and they go, oh, no, da-da-da. It's either that they've already got someone in mind and you're not going to get it, so don't waste your time, or they realize that they've got such a good deal with you in your current role, either they're not paying you enough or you work way harder than you should and they're like, fuck, man, we can't possibly lose Ronnie in this role. And so they discourage you from doing it. Ronnie, I wonder if your boss is the one who's in charge of hiring in this new role. It sounds like maybe they are, in which case, if they're kind of discouraging you from it, I don't like your chances of getting the role for one of those two reasons.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I would go ahead and just quit and hope that I get the new job. I mean, the other thing is it's really hard because obviously I think, you know, and I'm sure probably all of us agree that you spend most of your life at work and you don't want to be stressed at work all the time. Work-life balance is really important. Work can take such a mental toll on you and affect so much of your life. So if you're having a hard time in your current role, that's really tricky. However, the new role's only till the end of the year. So, you know, you're getting at most, what, 10 months maybe by the time you're in there, and they're going to have to, you know, find someone else to replace you in your current position. So at the end of that contract, you're probably looking for another job. However, if you're that stressed out, hate your job that much as it is, maybe it's for the best anyway.
Maybe it's a sign that you should spread your wings and fly somewhere else. Sometimes it takes those like things to make you go, oh, fuck, I don't want to do this. Do you know what's happening at my work? Oh, first, I just want to give advice to Ronnie so that we don't lose it, because Ronnie asked for advice. My advice, Ronnie, would be to push the point a bit more with your boss and say, and have a very frank conversation.
Frank?
And say,
it's Franco.
Franco.
Have a Franco conversation. And
Have a Franco conversation.
Don't do it like Franco would.
Sorry, excuse me.
I just really want this job. Oh, no, okay, you don't want me to have it. Okay, no worries. Okay, goodbye, bye.
Thanks for the chat.
Please pay me less and give me more hours. I would be very upfront with your boss and like have it as like a formal like sit down schedule meeting time with them. Don't kind of do it in passing, like properly impart to them that you are really interested in this temp role and that, you know, if your existing role, like, I don't know if you want to go back to your existing role or what, but let's just say that's out of the picture and just be like, I'm ready for a new challenge. And this is something that I think I'd be really good at, blah, blah, blah. Lay it all out on the table and then go from your boss's answer. If your boss goes, okay, well, if you're really keen, like I'm happy for you to apply and, you know, you can maybe stay in your role and still apply. And if you don't get it, you stay in your role. I don't know how it works in schools or whatever, but that's my suggestion there. If your boss is still pushing back against it, they are not going to give you the job. So don't quit your job to go and find that. But I would start looking for another role and leave that place. That's what I would do.
Sometimes it takes a little push for us to, you know, I feel like we, even when we're in a job that we're, or a role that we don't love and that's causing us lots of stress and that our work-life balance is all over the place, sometimes it takes a bit of a, you know, because it can be scary and like, oh my God, where am I going to get money from? But sometimes it takes a little push, and this might be the push you need, especially if your boss is saying, oh no, you can't have a different job. Maybe that's the push to find something. Because here's the thing, if the boss is going to be the boss for the other role, I mean, they might not be the person you want to work directly with anyway. So especially if they're going to be salty about you either leaving your current job or being in the new job or whatever it is, they might not be the person you want to work with anyway. So,
and if you're looking for a change in lifestyle specifically, you don't want to be going from one boss to the same boss who knows, you know, how you used to work and
yes,
kind of
exactly
like how exactly. how you'll be expected to work in this new one, regardless of if it's less hours or anything like that.
They're going to be like, mate, you were doing 50 hours in your last job. What's going on here?
Yeah, seriously, some bosses will just completely take advantage. The thing I wanted to bring up is what's happening at my work at the moment. Three 100% know of in good jobs have quit in the last at the start of this year to go and be Contiki tour guides. And they're like maybe a little bit younger than me, but like they're like, I'm going to go overseas and travel. And I have so much respect for people who can do that, because the idea of that absolutely terrifies me. I mean, one guy's got a job lined up. He's going to London. He's going to do the Contiki training and then he's going on Contiki. Another chick's just going to travel. Actually, four. And Jack's one of them, my mate who I work with, she said that you guys spoke.
Yes, she messaged me like 2 weeks ago or something and I just sat there because it didn't notify me.
Oh.
And I was like, oh no. So I messaged her and I think we're all good now.
Yeah,
so.
No. She's not the type that would be like, oh no, he hates me. She'd just try again. But yeah, all these people who are like just giving up their jobs, and I feel like I'm sensing like a trend, you know, like COVID and then like immediately post the worst of COVID, people were like flexible work and work-life balance and da-da-da. And now people are like, one girl I work with who's a few years younger than me, she's like, I feel like I lost two of the best years of my 20s to COVID. Mm-hmm. And it's all these people who are like, fuck, man, like, what's life about? I want to travel. I don't want to, you know, regret things that I haven't done. And yeah, all these people at my work, four that I know of, just throwing in the towel. One guy's actually works for a really cool program, and he's like, I can't sustain like the work-life balance anymore because I don't really have any, so I'm gonna go work a 9-to-5. And I was like, yeah man, like good for you. And I love that we're like more in tune with that stuff now, and that we're not like killing ourselves to make our bosses richer. Like,
yeah, I think COVID put things into perspective for people, you know. And I think it's good to keep a perspective no matter what. It's like, you know, work is obviously a part of life and is a part of life for everyone, and, you know, money makes the world go round, but also, like, work isn't everything. You know, work to live, don't live to work. So
100%.
Yeah.
You know.
But then I see – then I walk down by the water near my house and I see all the big mansions and I'm like, oh, you probably had to work really hard to get that. And I
don't know that
one.
They did. Most of that's intergenerational family wealth.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah, especially
true.
You need rich grandparents just to even think about living in places like that.
The amount of people who have one of those mansions who are self-made is probably like 0.5%.
Yeah. And you need to realize as well, something that I'm kind of noticing, and it applies to our industry and so many others, some people are just lucky. Like, luck actually is a thing that kind of comes into it a lot.
Yeah,
and
the right
if you are lucky,
you
should be thanking everything you can for it, but it isn't necessarily all just based on your decisions.
Yeah, you're right. So the moral of the story is don't try because it's not worth it. Give up.
Yes.
The
stop
moral
trying,
of the story is
stop
prioritize.
Caring.
Prioritize yourself, not your job.
Yeah,
make sure
that you're
happy and healthy, and then you can worry about work.
Yeah. You can't. Prioritizing yourself doesn't mean you can't work hard or you shouldn't work hard. Work hard if you want to work hard, if you want to provide whatever you want to provide or get whatever you want to get. But that doesn't mean that you should lose track of your own life, what's important to you, and your balance with your work and your life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know, everything could end tomorrow. And then are you going to be like, man, I'm glad that I spent 50 hours at school trying to like please my boss who won't even give me a promotion? No. I mean, I hope that you're not going to say.
Yeah, the answer should be no.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not, but I hope that as you're like floating off into the ether and your spirit is looking down on your body, you're like, you know what? I'm glad that I broke my back for my boss. That really was a good time.
Yeah, that's all I think about. Ronnie, all the best. And as always, let us know how you go.
I have another – Ronnie sent through another Ronnie, not the same Ronnie, a question, and I thought it could be a bit of fun. It's actually I was going to say interactive, but it's not exactly an interactive question. But there is an element of, there's audio here.
Oh, okay. I love audio.
Great for a podcast.
Great for a podcast. So this Ronnie writes, a bit of a random question. Here's some audio of my baby. He's only about 4 months old.
Cute.
In this audio, does he say, I love you, or am I just being a mum?
Okay.
So Ronnie wants our definitive answer on whether the baby, her baby, her 4-month-old baby, is saying I love you. Now, just want to preface this with that 4-year-olds can't talk.
4 months.
4-month-olds can't talk.
4-year-olds. Yeah, 4-year-olds can talk.
They should be
4-year-olds probably should be able to talk.
Yeah.
So this is the baby. Here we go.
I love you.
I love you.
Of course he is. He's mimicking. Like, yeah. I don't think he knows. He doesn't know what he's saying, but he's definitely saying I love you.
I think we need to be clear here, especially for the mum. The baby is copying the sounds that it hears.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure that the baby does love you, but it maybe doesn't know what that means quite yet.
Do you think you can love if you don't understand love? Like, babies?
Yes. Dogs. Look at dogs. There you go.
Dogs understand love innately.
I just looked at my puppy. He's sleeping. He's cuddling his blanket. Remember when he used to be really evil when we'd record the podcast?
Yes.
And I had to like try and, yeah. Such a good boy now. He was just going through his teenage phase. Now he's just a good little boy.
Do dogs understand love, or are they just like, you know how there's like a leader of the wolf pack and you're the leader?
I think different
dogs
definitions.
Are love. Dogs are love.
Dogs are love.
They are. Everything
what does
they
that
do.
Mean?
It means that that's their innateness. They're just love. They rely on you and they look to you for your guidance and they sleep in your bed and they're just the best. And like even dogs that have been horribly mistreated still have love and they're still, doesn't mean they're not scared or whatever. And I'm not saying that's like, oh, don't worry, mistreat them, it's fine. But I just mean like they're the most loving, forgiving things ever.
Isn't love a human concept? We invented love.
But that's what I mean. I don't think they understand it. They don't know that they love you. They are love, so they just...
They are love,
They
okay.
just express it. And I'd say a baby is the same in this case because it doesn't know what the fuck love is.
Babies
but,
are very similar to dogs.
Oh, the same. The same, pretty much. Like yeah, they're cute, except, but they
It's
are,
acceptable to put a nappy on a baby. It's not acceptable to put a nappy on a dog for some reason.
Hard disagree. Nappies on dogs. That's
hard
a thing
disagree.
That happens.
Well, neither of you have nappies on your dogs.
No, because I don't need to because neither of our dogs are incontinent. If you have an incontinent dog, an old dog or a dog that's had an injury or a dog that can't get outside, lots of people put nappies on their dogs.
What about puppies? Puppies that are in training, you know?
Well,
you
you're
put
training
nappies
them.
On babies that are in. Yeah, but you don't. You
you're
put nappies on babies
them.
While you're training them.
No, you don't. You don't put them on. That's the whole idea is that you put pull-ups on them in case they have an accident in the night, but during the day when you're trying to toilet train the kid, they're not in nappies. You're trying to train them to go to the toilet. You're not putting them in a nappy.
You're not still wearing nappies, are you, Jax?
No comment.
This is a Jax is Weird podcast, so I wouldn't be surprised if you're like, yeah, aren't you guys?
Yeah. Could I just really quick, you ever think of dogs, like, right?
Always.
Dogs and cats, actually.
Yep, all the time.
You know how, like, you think of, like, wild animals and you think of, like, lions and wolves, like, that dogs and cats are descended from or, like, are related to?
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever really think of – I know feral dogs and feral cats exist, but I just sort of think of dogs and cats like as a default as pets, but they weren't always pets.
Correct.
I think they actually might have been, especially in the case of dogs, yeah.
Yeah, they –
They're always pets.
Do you want to know a fun fact? You know puppy dog eyes. So that's The way that they make puppy dog eyes is with their eyebrows. Like, yes, puppies have bigger eyes. All baby animals and humans have actually bigger eyes because it's cute and it's like, don't kill me. It's like a defense mechanism.
Well, I'm pretty sure I think your eyes, I don't know, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure when you're a baby, your eye holes are smaller, so it makes your eyes look bigger.
No, you're born with the same size eyes that you will have for your whole life.
Yeah, but the hole is smaller, so it makes it look bigger.
No. You're born.
The eye hole is
smaller. No. You're born the eye. How? So what? You just get like instead of getting the whites of the baby's eyes, you just get No.
I don't know.
No, shut up. That's not true.
So the eyes are the same size, but the baby is small. So it looks by comparison.
Yes, correct.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Correct.
Yeah, so you know how babies kind of look like... Like if I got you, Jax, and just like shrunk you down exactly how you were into just like a little baby-sized Jax, you wouldn't look like a baby. You'd look like a small adult. So babies kind of look different because their proportions are all different.
Right.
Including the eyeballs.
No, that makes sense. Yeah,
but my fun fact that I know is true. So eyebrow expression in dogs is something that wolves don't have because dogs, evolved to have the eyebrow movement because that's how they found they could communicate with humans. Cats don't communicate, stray cats or whatever, or undomesticated cats.
Ferals.
Don't communicate with meows and domesticated cats don't communicate with each other meows.
Because how do they communicate then?
In different ways. And when I say don't, I mean they don't use it to the same extent that they do with humans because they learned that that's how they communicate with humans.
So the reason that cats meow is because they hear us speaking through our mouths and they kind of want to do the same thing.
And then they do it and then we react. And it's always that. It's like if you react to something, then it becomes a behavior. And so that's the same
thing. Well, can I just say, if they evolved to meow, you think they could have evolved to speak a fucking proper language?
Why?
Would make things so much easier?
I think that there would potentially be more problems if cats could speak English, if that's what you're saying.
No way. That'd be fun.
I mean.
Imagine just chatting with your cat. Oh, get a cat.
Yeah, but just on a broader kind of societal level, we've got racist and sexist problems all over the place. We don't want to add speciesism into that. And you know that cats would want to take over the world. You know that for a fact.
Yeah, that's true. They would. Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap
But at least you could ask, you know, when they groom themselves, at least you could say, "Oi, cat, what do you taste like?"
What the fuck?
So sorry you had to hear that, everyone at home.
Well, you're not going to put...
You really flew your weird flag today, Jax.
And just going back to... I just really want to point out, and you can go back and listen as well to the first half of the episode, no one told Jax to tell us any of that.
No.
No one... That was
all unsolicited. Okay, thank you so much for listening. Sorry again about Jax. You can find us at Can We Help You Podcast on socials. And to get in touch, you can hit us up there, send us a DM, or go to our website, canwehelpyoupodcast.com. And don't forget, feedback, compliments, and questions. We need your questions, so please send them through.
And make sure you hit 5 stars and hit us up with a little cheeky review if you're listening on Apple or if your podcast platform allows reviews, whatever it is. Just, you know, pop a little review in there. Yep. Or a 5-star.
Thanks for listening and we'll see you again on Wednesday/Thursday/Tuesday, whatever day it is in your homeland.
Okay.
Midweek.
It won't be Thursday. It's not how time zones work. But
I don't
before know. See you before Thursday.
Yeah.
Nice.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Franco?
Oh, bye. Sorry. Bye.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.